A reading from the second book of Kings. A man came from Baal Shalassah, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God. 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, they ate, and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he says to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and two fish, he looked up to the heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called to his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples reply, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish. And after blessing them, he ordered that these two should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, seven baskets full. Now there are about 4,000 people. The Gospel of Christ.
Today is the third Sunday in our series discussing questions that Jesus asks in the Gospel accounts. We first looked at gratitude, considering Jesus' question, "Were not all 10 lepers healed?" when only one of the 10 had come back praising God to thank him. Then last week, we looked at Jesus' question whether a lamp was lit only to hide it under a basket rather than putting it on a lampstand to shine for everybody in the room. And that one encourages us to let our light shine to those around us. And our light is our knowledge of God as love and forgiveness, rather than judgment and condemnation. And then today, we're looking at the feeding of the 5,000, as recorded by Mark, as well as the later feeding of the 4,000. And at both of these events, Jesus asks his disciples the same question: "How many loaves do you have?" So let's look at the story in more detail to see where that question comes in the story. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that is recorded in all four gospel accounts, so it must have made quite an impression on the disciples. Jesus had sent his disciples out to the villages to preach and to heal, and they had just come back excited about their success but also needing some downtime. Then they heard of the murder of John the Baptizer by King Herod. And some of the disciples had been disciples of John before they were called by Jesus. And John was the cousin of Jesus. So it was sad news for all of them, and they were grieving. But the crowd surrounded them and gave them no time to eat, let alone to rest or grieve. So Jesus takes things into his own hands, and he is determined to take his disciples away by boat to a quiet place where they can just be the 13 of them for a little bit. However, the people in the crowd figure out where they're going, and they beetle it around the shore, and they beat them there. So when the boat arrives, there's the crowd ready to meet them. Now, someone else, including me, might have thrown up their arms in frustration and like, ugh, how could I get rid of these people? But no, Jesus, we read, had compassion on them. And he thought of them as a sheep without a shepherd. They had no one to lead them. They had no one to tell them what was important in life or in religion. They had no one to encourage them in their day-to-day living. Their political leaders oppressed them, and their religious leaders made religion a burden to them. So we read that Jesus puts his plans on the back burner, and instead he starts to teach the crowd many things. Later, when it was getting late in the afternoon, the disciples come and tell Jesus he should dismiss the crowd. I can just imagine them, you know, go tell him he should, like, stop now. No, I'm not going to interrupt him. No, you go interrupt him and tell him, you know. And then finally, somebody says, you need to let these people go into the surrounding villages and buy themselves some food because it's getting late. But Jesus then surprises his disciples by telling them to give the crowd something to eat. And they're flabbergasted. They point out that it would be ridiculous for them to go and purchase food for all of these people, and that they figured it would cost the better part of a worker's annual salary to buy enough. And there was no way that they had that kind of money. But Jesus doesn't seem fazed. He simply asked them, well, how many loaves do you have? And he's serious. He actually says, well, go and check. And they come back and they say, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, the loaves were more like what we might call a dinner roll. They weren't big, they were, you know, kind of like a big donut, kind of. And the fish were more like sardines. So this was snacking food that they had. It would be like us saying, well, you know, we got a box of granola bars and a couple pieces of dried fruit, that's it. You know how we kind of stash granola bars in the car and, you know, in our bag and pockets. And so they didn't even have enough food for the 12 of them, let alone the whole crowd. But for Jesus, it's enough to work with. And he has his disciples get the crowd seated down in orderly groups. Then he blesses God for the food, broke the bread, which is what a father would do at the family table. The first course was always the bread. And the father would bless God, break the bread, and pass it around the table. So Jesus does this, and he gives the bread to his disciples to pass out to the people. And we simply read that everybody ate and were filled, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover pieces. So what the heck happened here? Did the bread and fish just kind of multiply themselves as they were being passed out? That seems to be what it's saying. Our Old Testament reading about the prophet Elisha is an account of just that happening. There was a famine in the land of Israel, and a man was bringing some bread, 20 loaves, again the small loaves, and some heads of ripe grain to Elisha, the prophet, as an offering to God. And Elisha tells him to give it to the company of prophets, which is essentially his disciples. And the man protests and he goes, there's not enough here for the 100 prophets that you have. And Elisha said, he repeats to him and says, no, go ahead and give it to the people, because God said they would all eat and there would be some left. So the man does, and yes, indeed, all the prophets eat, and there was food left over after. This was considered a sign. It was a sign that Elisha was a true prophet of God, and that he had the power of God to provide for his disciples in hard times. So Jesus, using so little food to fully feed 5,000 people, and the gospel, according to Matthew, says there were 5,000 men, and then you have to add to that women and children. So there's more than 5,000 mouths that were being fed. It was a sign that Jesus was a true prophet of God, like the prophets of old, and that Jesus was able to miraculously provide, not just for his immediate disciples, but for the crowds who gathered to hear his teaching. They could see that Jesus had access to the power of God. There was one school of thought that attributes the feeding of the crowd to something other than miraculous multiplication of the loaves and fish. In Bible times, individuals would carry a small basket around with them, kind of like a what we might think of as a fishing basket, that sort of size. And they would take some food with them when they left home. Now, those in the crowd listening to Jesus may have wanted to take out their food, but they hesitated because there obviously wasn't enough for them to share with the people that were around them. But when the disciples shared their food, so the thinking goes, the hearts of the people were softened and they generously took out the food that they had and started to share. That is still an amazing outcome, changing the hearts of people. But that explanation wouldn't work for the second feeding of the crowd. This time there were 4,000 people. And this second time is recorded by Mark and by Matthew. We read that the people had been with Jesus listening to his teaching for 3 days. Now, any food they had brought with them would have been long gone. And they were in the middle of nowhere. There was no food to buy in that isolated area. And Jesus is afraid, practically, that they wouldn't make it home safely because they would drop from fatigue and hunger on the way. So he wants to feed them. And his disciples remind him, we are in the middle of nowhere. Doesn't matter how much money we have, there is no food to buy to feed these people. And again, Jesus doesn't seem to be fazed. Again, he says, how many loaves do you have? This time they happen to have 7 with them. And again, Jesus had the people sit on the ground in orderly groups. He gave thanks for the loaves and then had his disciples distribute them to the crowd. And then, almost as an afterthought, we read, oh yeah, there were a few small fish here as well, and yeah, they got distributed too. And again, the simple sentence, they ate and were filled. This time, the disciples picked up 7 baskets of leftover pieces. And these weren't just picnic baskets or, rucksacks. These were hampers. It's the same word that is used in the book of Acts to describe the basket that Paul was hidden in and lowered over the wall of Damascus to escape his enemies. So these baskets were large enough to hold a grown man. And there were 7 full hampers of broken bits of bread left over. In the first story, there was food available but not enough money to buy it. And then in the second story, there's just no food. But in both cases, Jesus made the little that his disciples had and gave him enough for all to eat with more to spare. So what can we learn from these two accounts of this miraculous feeding? First, Jesus was demonstrating the power that was known to have been with the prophets of old, specifically Moses, Elijah, and Elisha. Moses was the prophet to the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt, and God fed them for 40 years with bread from heaven, their manna that covered the ground each morning. The people gathered it and prepared it for their families every day until they entered the land of Canaan under Joshua and ate the crops from that new land. Then the manna stopped. Now Elijah, during a famine in Israel, he stayed with a widow and her son, and the entire time, the small jar of meal and the little jug of oil that the widow had continued to feed the prophet, the widow, and her son for many days, until after the great showdown with the false prophets at Mount Carmel and the end of the drought. So that little bit of meal and that little bit of oil just kept on giving as long as it had to. And then the prophet Elijah, shortly before the account in our reading of his disciples being fed, he helps a widow whose husband died leaving some debts and she couldn't pay them. So her two sons were going to be taken and sold as slaves to cover the debt. All she had was a little jug of oil. Elisha told them, go home and borrow as many containers as you can from your neighbors, jars, jugs, everything, as many as you can find. Then go home, shut the door, and start pouring from that little jar into the empty jars. And lo and behold, the oil just kept pouring and pouring and pouring until they ran out of jugs to pour it into, and then it stopped. The woman sold the oil. She saved her sons by paying off the debts, and then they had the rest of the money to live on. So making a little go a long way was something that God had been in, what's the word, in the habit of doing, almost. And in feeding the two great crowds with such little food, Jesus was doing what the prophets had done, but more so. This wasn't a group of 100 disciples or a small family. It was thousands of people. And he did it not once, but twice. Jesus was like the old prophets, but surpassed them. There was something he had in addition to what they had. And that something extra set Jesus apart as unique in power and ability. We read in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And still today, Jesus has compassion on people and wants their needs to be met, both physical needs like food, clothes, shelter, and non-physical, like teaching about God and instructions in God's way to live abundantly. In these gospel accounts, Jesus turned to his disciples and asked them what they had available to them. How many loaves do you have? Even in the face of the little they had, it's as though he said to them, that'll do, we'll use that. And he proceeded to make that amount more than enough to meet the need. It's interesting that in both stories, it's the disciples that had the bread, and they were the ones to distribute it, not Jesus. Jesus was present and gave the blessing. And he still does that today. But the disciples were the ones that provided the seed bread, so to speak, and then distributed it. Jesus is present with us today, just in a different way than he was to his disciples back then. Could it be that in his compassion, he's calling on us to help those he sees need assistance? Is he asking us, what do you have? You help them. And when we reply, does he say, good, that'll do. Let's use that. Give that to me and let me bless it. Now go and distribute it to those in need. Now, I don't think we should expect miracles every day like this. Though I do think that it can happen, but the lesson goes further than watch for a miracle. First, it teaches us that Jesus cares for people and their real needs. And then second, that Jesus wants his followers to have a role in meeting those needs. And thirdly, that Jesus asks us to take stock of what we have available to us and to give it to him. And that he will bless it and we distribute it. Then we watch God make it enough. It's interesting if you think about what could the disciples have said that they didn't say when he said, well, how many loaves do you have? They could have said, we can't give this to others. What are we going to eat after that? Or maybe they could have said, yeah, this is what we have, but it's not going to make a dent in the need that's out there. What's the point? Why even try? Or maybe it would be better for a few people to get something substantial than for everybody to get a few crumbs each. But they didn't say any of that. Or the gospel writers left it out. The disciples had been with Jesus long enough to know, yeah, he might ask some weird things, but you know, just go ahead and do it. He seemed to know what he was doing, and they had been surprised before. They trusted Jesus to know what he was doing and what he was there for. And then I ask myself, when was the last time I was surprised by God? Do I trust Jesus enough to know that he knows what he's doing? Do I believe that he can take my small contribution to the great need that's out there and make it grow? Do I anticipate how Jesus will take what I give into his care and use it for the growth of the kingdom? We may never see the results of our efforts or the outcome of our contributions in this life. But please, oh please, do not let that stop us from offering up what we do have for Jesus to use to come to the assistance of people in need and to give glory to God the Father in doing so. Amen.